You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast. Dave Callner here alongside Lee Phelps and Derek McGovern to look ahead to the third to last weekend in the Premier League season. Just three matches left and we'll preview all 10 games, starting with the live games. But first of all, it's a warm welcome, a good morning to Derek McGovern.
Good morning, chaps. Are you celebrating a Tory win? Are you?
Oh, it's like a brave new world, isn't it? Blue is the colour. It couldn't be worse for you, could it, really, I suppose?
Well, I mean, I'd rather see John Carver in charge of this sweaty-faced fellow. There we go.
There are loads of things kicking around on Twitter today with John Carver involved with Ed Miliband. Brilliant. Absolutely.
Have you seen the John Carver-Alan Shearer mashup?
No, I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, it's hilarious. You've got John Carver's manager of Sports Direct show up, and Alan Shearer comes in looking to buy a soft drink. It's hilarious. Do have a look at that.
I will do, yeah.
John Carver, the best manager in the Premier League, Derek.
Yeah.
We all knew it.
I know. I mean, he said that to a throng of journalists. He probably wasn't even the best manager in that room. He's an absolute pillock, isn't he?
Do you know what I'm going to do? If as it looks like may happen, I lose the Naps table, I'm going to write an open letter to all the Punt listeners.
Got to do
You've
that.
Got to write open letters these days, haven't you? It's the only thing, you know, closed letters. Think of the past. Write an open letter. Expect one from Miliband, Clegg, and anyone else who's had a bad night as well. Open letters galore in the broadsheets over the next few days.
Let's get stuck into this weekend then, starting with the televised games. And we kick things off with Everton versus Sunderland, which is a 12:45 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Everton 3-4, the draw 23-10, and Sunderland are 9-2. Headline offers, Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win is 3-1. Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win 9-1. Everton, Lee, will still have designs on a top 10 finish despite that setback against Aston Villa on Saturday, while Sunderland's win at home against Southampton has given them a real chance of survival now.
Yeah, but I think this is a tough one for them. Remember we said before that Man United game about how good defensively they've been, and that just proved it at Goodison Park. I think it was 11 goals conceded in the first three games of the season and 7 since. So I don't expect them to have too much trouble here against this Sunderland team, who we know don't score enough goals. In Sunderland's last four games, they've got this game, they're away at Arsenal and away at Chelsea. So they've got, in my mind, they've got those three games to pick up a point, and the home game against Leicester to get 3 points for safety. They're on 33, remember, with a minus 22 goal difference. So that's 7 worse than Hull and Leicester. So effectively, I know they're only a point behind those two teams, but really they're 2 points behind. I just find it hard to make an argument for how Sunderland score a goal at Everton when Everton have been so good defensively recently. You look at the goals scored column away from home, and it doesn't make particularly pretty reading for Sunderland. The worst in the Premier League, joint with West Brom, Villa and Burnley, scored 12 goals, only won 2 games all season, have drawn 8, so that might be, you know, part of the, you can maybe make an argument for a 0-0 draw, but I expect Everton to win this game. 3-4 isn't the sort of price I'd normally look at Everton. But I could probably take that, to be honest with you. What I am going to play, though, is the Everton minus 1. I think Everton could win this one 2-0. And I think if they got 2 up, they could maybe do a little bit of a job on Sunderland. They beat Man United 3-0. They could quite easily beat Sunderland 3-0, you'd expect. So Everton minus 1 goal at 2-1 for me. Just too defensively strong for Sunderland.
Everton to win the game 2-0 is in the market at 7-1. Derek, these prices suggest that the compilers have definitely factored in Sunderland's necessity for a win here, in my opinion.
Yeah, but not enough, in my opinion.
Okay.
You know, they were 4-1 about half an hour ago, gone out to 9-2. I expected them to come in the other way, because what you've got here is a team in reasonable form, probably their best form of the season, 2 wins and a draw in their last 4 games, a good result against Southampton last week, probably in their best form of the season, who desperately need to win against a team who, you know, we've got nothing at stake yet. I know they're playing at home, so they can't give up the ghost. We've said that many, many times. But still, I'd much rather be on Sunderland at 9-2 than Everton are odds on. I really can't see that as a bet at all. And yeah, I know Sunderland's away record scoring record isn't great. But you know what? They've lost fewer games away from home than Liverpool have this season in the league. You know, okay, they don't win enough. That's their problem. But now they've got to start winning, picking up a point a la Gus Poyet away from home. It just won't cut the mustard now. I actually think Sunderland had a fantastic bet at 9-2.
Okay, Sunderland 9-2, the draw 23-10, Everton 3-4. Do check out those headline offers as well. Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win is 3-1. Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win in the betting at 9-1. Let's move on to Crystal Palace versus Manchester United, which is a 5:30 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. Crystal Palace 100-30. The draw is 23-10 and Man United 10-11. Headline offers here with William Hill. Yannick Bolasie to score and Crystal Palace to win is 12-1. Wayne Rooney to score and Manchester United to win in the market at threes. Derek, two teams with identical recent records, really. Crystal Palace have secured their place in the Premier League with that great run through March and the beginning of April, while Man United's run in that spell put them in the box seat for the top four. However, both have lost their last three without scoring.
Exactly. Incredible, isn't it? Not a single goal between them in six matches, all told. Quite incredible. But Man United's need is greater than Palace's, isn't it? I actually suspected that Palace had given up the ghost about 2 weeks before. They actually did. That came when they'd beaten Sunderland, and now they have gone for the season. And there's no way I'll be backing them at 100-30, because also we've said many, many times this season their home record isn't that great. Just 5 wins from 17, at Selhurst Park. And you're expecting to back them to beat Man United? No, I'm not having that. I think United will win this one. I can't work out what's happened to them, because when they performed against Liverpool a few weeks ago, and then again against Manchester City, I thought they were sensational, and yet they haven't picked up a point since then. I just can't explain it, but they're going to win this one.
I think it's the absence of Michael Carrick. I know it sounds ridiculous given he's been around so long, but people that are way more in touch with the game than I am suggest that Michael Carrick's absence is affecting them deeply, and Carrick's out again this weekend, Lee.
Yes, there's loads of stats around about his ability and the ratio of games that they win. 72% win ratio with him in the team. Without him, it's 35%. That's pretty stark, isn't it? To be honest with you. He does a job, doesn't he? He just allows other players to have a bit of freedom in the pitch. I think the fact that there's this goal drought between the two of them gives us a nice little bet here. I think, you know, when you look at Palace's home form over the course of the season, although they don't win, you know, games against the big teams, they perform pretty well against them. They lost 2-1 to Chelsea in October. They beat Liverpool 3-1. They beat Tottenham 2-1. They lost 2-1 to Liverpool in the Cup. They lost 2-1 to Arsenal at home. They beat Man City 2-1 as well. So they've scored goals against all of the top six at home in Cup and League so far. So I think they could score here despite the goal drought, as I say. I think Man United will go out and try and get the shackles off them a little bit just to consolidate that fourth spot, which I think if they win this weekend, that's it then, isn't it? They are guaranteed Champions League football. I'm going for a nice old plain over 2.5 goals here. It's priced up at 21-20. Which is plenty good enough for me. I like that. I mean, Man United at 10-11 looks a good price, to be fair.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think Man United, I think they were unlucky against West Brom, to be fair. I think they obviously missed a penalty, and you know, it's not like they're in the middle of a drought where they're not making chances. But I won't play Man United. I'll just play the goals. I think we could see a Man United 2-1 win here.
And I just think that I understand what you're saying and what Derek's saying about Crystal Palace having checked out for the season. You look at their recent results. They lost at home to West Brom and Hull, but they did show spirit and fight against Chelsea, and I get the feeling Alan Pardew is the sort of manager. He sees a big club coming to his ground, and he thinks that he can get his players motivated for that.
Well, yeah, definitely. And I was reading James McArthur said a very similar thing. He said, we like the games when there's no pressure on you, where you can go to Stamford Bridge, Manchester United can come here, etc. They're the games that you want to play in the Premier League, competing with the best players in the world. We need to do ourselves justice for the remainder of the season. It's not about spoiling parties, it's about doing ourselves justice and trying to get as many points on the board as possible. And I know that's just simple to say that, but the fact that he identifies the fact that they can get themselves up for the big games plays into Pardew's ego as well, I think.
Crystal Palace are 100-30 to win that match. The draw is in the betting at 23-10 and Manchester United 10-11. Let's move to the Etihad now. Manchester City versus QPR live on the telly on Sunday afternoon, 1:30 p.m. kickoff. Man City 2-9 to win the game. The draw 5-1 QPR. 12-1, James Milner to score and Man City to win is a headline offer at 7-2. Charlie Austin to score and QPR to win is 25-1. Lee, I wouldn't fancy that headline offer of James Milner to score and Man City to win at 7-2 very much.
Although earlier in the season they put that up, didn't they? Remember? And it came in.
I think
when they stuck him up front when they had no strikers, but no, I wouldn't necessarily fancy it. Could be one of his last games, actually, for City. It sounds like he's going to be on his way at the end of the season. Probably be a very good player for maybe someone just outside.
He'd go to somewhere like Stoke, won't he?
I think it'd be a good sign for a club like Liverpool, to be honest.
Well, Liverpool are supposed to be interested.
He's not a replacement for Gerrard by any stretch, but I think he's a lot better than people give him credit for. Milner, he's very versatile. You know, obviously covers every blade of grass, etc., etc. Tell you what, I was looking at QPR's injury list. I mean, they've nearly got a full team out at the minute. They're down anyway, 1-100 to be relegated. Will be relegated if they lose this game, and they will lose this game to Manchester City. Now, Man City haven't been massively convincing against West Ham. They almost conceded it late on and looked to have become very complacent against Villa. Of course, they were very lucky. The 1-0 win at Tottenham was fair enough. As I've been saying and boring people with for weeks now, still cannot back Man City at odds on, even against QPR at home. But I can get involved with Aguero again. Scored first in each of his last three games. I've been banging on about this bet for the last three or four weeks as well. And I'm just going to keep it simple here. I think he'll score in the game again. A few ways of backing him, of course. Anytime, he's a little bit short for me at 4-9. Two or more, 19-10. I could play that. To score first is 5-2. And if you put him to score first in the City win, that's another way of playing it. He's obviously scored goals against QPR, and his most famous goal, of course, was against QPR, wasn't it, to win? So, I mean, it's like an ultimate mug bet, isn't it, where, you know, I'm sure he must love the memories of playing against QPR. Man City to win and Aguero to score first is 14-5.
Okay. Yeah, you know, it is hard. That strikes me as a decent bet, that, because when you watch City now, he looks like their only likely scorer, doesn't he? You know, he's a sensational finisher, we know. And you look at some of the odds here to score at any time for the City players, and about six or seven of them are odds on, including David Silva odds on. Would you look like Silva odds on to score? I mean, if QPR couldn't beat Liverpool last week, a Liverpool team that I thought had checked out, and they only drew a home to West Ham the week before that, and they're not going to go to City and win. And I know that City are 2-9. You don't really want to be back in that. But there's no other option. It's you know, QPR are down and Manchester City will win this. Just try and find a bet in the game. It's a tough one, but I wouldn't argue with what Lee just said.
The interesting thing about QPR's away form is it's got no better, really. I mean, yeah, they're conceding plenty of goals still, aren't they? Actually, just looking at who they concede against, you know, obviously concede against strikers, but a few midfielders as well on there. So, I mean, suppose if you want to look at goal scores, you could go a bit further down. Kolarov at 2-1 if he plays. I like Kolarov when he plays, and especially if he gets a free kick. He's got a fantastic shot on him, hasn't he? Maybe
but
some centre back.
I think that's a shocking price.
Still short,
yeah,
isn't it?
I do as well, yeah.
Still really short.
A left back 2-1 to score at any
still
time.
Really short, isn't it?
It's tough to find any value in those goal scorer prices because Manchester City are so short at 2-9.
Hat-trick 17-2 for Sergio Aguero.
At least Aguero's chasing something, though, isn't he? He still needs to solidify his position at the top of the scorer chart, so at least he's got something to play for.
Whereas and he's trying.
Manchester City don't.
I think over the last month, Joe Hart, Milner, maybe a couple of others have been the only ones when you watch them who really look to be busting a gut, who are really, like, you know, having a right go at the teammates, you know, when a move breaks down. So,
do you think they'll continue, Derek, with Manuel Pellegrini next season? Then
no, I don't think there's any chance of him staying there. I really don't. They've had a shocker of the season, absolute shocker.
Pep might come yet.
Pep Guardiola, do you reckon?
But you know the way they're going, they're going to get another thumping, aren't they? After what he went through last year. So.
I don't know. I've got no idea who they'll take on now, but he can't stay, can he? I just can't believe that City would keep him.
Let's look at Chelsea versus Liverpool Sunday 4 p.m. Chelsea 11-10, the draw 11-5, Liverpool 11-4. Headline offers: Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win 7-2. Philip Coutinho to score and Liverpool to win is 9-1. Chelsea, David, will have been enjoying their title success after winning at home against Crystal Palace, but that match on Sunday just confirmed what's looked an inevitability for the last couple of months, really. Difficult to predict how focused they will be on this particular match, but you look through Jose Mourinho's record historically when he's won the title the last couple of times with Chelsea, they don't ease off noticeably.
They'll ease off here.
Do you think so?
I think Liverpool, you've got unmissable Liverpool at these odds. The last time Chelsea played Liverpool with nothing to play for, it was actually 3 years ago this week. I was at the game. Liverpool tonked them 4-1. They were so bad, Chelsea, that Andy Carroll scored. That's how bad they were.
That was at Anfield then.
It was at Anfield, yeah, I know. But, you know, they've just won the league. Been a hard season. You know, what would you be, it's human, if you're human nature, just to you know, to go through the motions? Why? What's in it for them? They've won the league. They probably think in the players, well, you know, we deserve a rest. It's our reward here. And Liverpool still have it all to play for. Liverpool, by the way, have got a very good record at Chelsea in recent seasons. I think there's 2 wins and a draw in their last 5 visits there. I can't see Liverpool not winning this. I really can't. I just don't see Chelsea trying a leg. I've played in games. I know it's only amateur level and that, but it's still, you know, it's still human nature. I remember a couple of seasons when we'd won the league and we played against a team right at the bottom, who needed to win because there was even relegation at our level. And they battered us. They absolutely battered us. And we were miles better than them, but they battered us on each occasion. Because you've just given up. You've won the league. You've given up. Why should that be any difference in the Premier League? I don't think it is.
I think Jose Mourinho is probably the difference. But having said that, Derek, I mean, I've been kind of thinking about this game all week and thinking about what Chelsea will be like. And I knew what DK said. I knew that they didn't let up particularly. But I don't know if you saw the interview that he did after the game on Match of the Day, or you know, whether you saw it on Sky or whatever. He looked shattered. And he actually said, I need a rest. Now, I'm not saying he's gone.
Mourinho, but,
he's like, I'm very, very tired and I really need a rest. You know, I'm not saying he's just going to, you know, put his feet up on the side and, you know, and chuck it in now. But I was wondering if, rather than sending his team out how he normally sends them out, to be defensive first and, you know, and make sure they get something out of the game against one of the fellow big sides, I wonder if you'll let them off the leash a little bit here, or maybe, you know, not be quite as, you know, dogmatic as he has been. And because of that, I think the Chelsea... I disagree with you, Derek. If Liverpool were in slightly better form, I could go along with it. But, you know, the goals away from home have really dried up. I don't really see where the goals are coming from. More kind of negative news about Sturridge.
That's a nightmare, isn't it, for Liverpool?
I mean, we said this last week. They've scored 47 goals this season, I think. Sturridge and Suarez scored 51 between them last year. They haven't got the goals for me, and I only think that they'll be... I can't see how they break Chelsea down. I think the 11-10 is a tremendous price, because you've also got that Chelsea home record and that thing, you know, I can't imagine that they'll want to lose to Liverpool of all teams. I'm not even going for the 11-10 though. I've decided that I'm going to go even braver than that. I'm going Chelsea win and over 2.5 goals. I wouldn't be surprised if they stick 3 past Liverpool.
Oh, late now, you know, you're talking
11-5.
Well, let me give you another example of what I said about when you once a team's won a title. I remember also Liverpool involved. In Arsenal had just won the league, I think it was about 1998. They played Liverpool again. Okay, it was at Anfield about 3 days later. Liverpool were 5-4. I remember writing, it's probably one of the greatest bets you'll ever see. Liverpool won 4-0. You know... That's what
is that
happened.
How far you've got to go back to recall past glories, Derek?
There've been a few other ones since then. All of them lost, though.
Difference of opinion here, then. Chelsea 11-10, a great price for Lee, and Derek with an unmissable bet on Liverpool
Mourinho
11-4.
Won't let them just go at it half cut, will he?
I don't think so. They've got quite a few hard-nosed players in that team, haven't they? John Terry included.
The other thing is, I think that, you know, I think if they were to, I'd have to double check this, but I think if they were to win the last 3 games, you know, they'd be on 92 points, wouldn't they? That, I mean, tremendous finish that is.
Yeah.
They could, you know, people have criticised them for being boring. They're not far off. I think the points total and the goals total won't be too far off the Arsenal Invincibles total. So, you know, I think they've still got, you know, pride to play for it. And, you know, I think they'll want to, you know, hammer everyone into the ground rather than let Man City catch them a little bit.
Listeners need to tweet in, don't they, who they're with here.
Hashtag Lee or hashtag Lee Phelps.
Let's move on to the live game.
To be fair, if we're looking at the naps, then Derek might just have the edge on this one.
I think so.
If this is like a... Derek, you can be the Conservatives, I'll be Labour.
Never.
Monday night, Arsenal versus Swansea, 8 p.m. kickoff. Arsenal 1-3, the draw 4-1, Swansea 8-1. Headline offers here: Aaron Ramsey to score and Arsenal to win is 2-1. Bafa Timbi Gomis to score and Swansea to win at 22-1. Lee, looking back at their meeting earlier on this season, back in November, surprisingly bad-tempered. 10 bookings in that match, which is a surprise when you think about the reputation of the two teams. And Swansea came from a goal behind to win that fixture 2-1. But you look back at the previous match Arsenal played, they'd played Anderlecht and thrown that 3-goal lead away, if you remember. And that was the previous Tuesday. So that poor form, or that poor match they played against Swansea, understandable, really.
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, I think, you know, Swansea haven't got a bad record against Arsenal full stop. I mean, you kind of think the way that Swansea play, they'd be made to measure for Arsenal, because they play an open game, and you think Arsenal should benefit from that. But they seem to, you know, they seem to do well against them. They're like a mini Arsenal, I suppose, aren't they, in a sense. You've been reading that stat out a few times recently about Arsenal, how few goals they concede in first halves. And there's another one here. 21 of the last 22 goals in this fixture in all competitions have been scored in the second half of the match, which is a tremendous statistic, isn't it? If you like betting on the highest scoring half, it's even money. Second half to be highest scoring, which is fair enough. Another way of playing it would be to go on the overs, unders, goals. So the second half, over 1.5 goals, is 4-5. So I think I'll just play the second half to be highest scoring here.
Nice bet.
At even money. I think Arsenal will win the game. I think they're in such good form at the minute. I think Ramsey's found his stride again. He's had a hand in 7 goals, three that he's scored and 4 that he's assisted in his last 6 Premier League appearances. Obviously, Giroud's in good form. Cazorla's, you know, obviously very good. And you've got that man Sanchez who's back amongst the goals. So I think Arsenal will probably... whether they win all 3 games is debatable, because they've obviously got that tricky one in the middle of the 3, but I think they'll win this one.
In that bet you're talking about earlier, about the second half having more goals, so what is the full betting on that market? What's the first half?
15-8 the first half, Derek. The draw's 11-4 and second half's even money.
Quite a big price for the first half, isn't it? I'm always tempted by the first half.
Yeah, but... well, that does seem a big price, but it's a game where the tie changes too often in that kind of thing, doesn't it?
Yeah,
that's it, because it's that three-way market. It's almost like it's almost like the 90-minute market. People forget that there's a possibility of a draw.
Yeah. Incidentally, by the way, but you know, I've always said, you know, any punter would probably think the draw, it's normally around about, 9-4, 5-2, because roughly around 33% of matches finish in the draw. So it should be 2-1, but bookies push it out because no one ever backs it. That's what I've always thought. Well, in the Premier League, you know, only 25% of matches are finished in a draw, so it should be 3-1.
This season is that, Derek?
Yeah, this season, yeah.
Okay.
It's 4-1 here, isn't it?
It is 4-1 here, but Arsenal are flying at the moment, Derek, aren't they? I mean... their form recently, they've only lost one of their last 15. They did hammer Hull on Monday night as well. Swansea have beaten Newcastle and Stoke in their last couple of games. They're closing the gap on Southampton and Spurs.
Well, I've said a couple of times that Swansea, it doesn't matter if it's the end of the season, Swansea, because they play exactly the same way all season long, like at the end of the season. I don't mean that disrespectfully, even though it sounds very disrespectful. It's just that's the way they played. It doesn't seem, you know, I can't put my finger on it, but it doesn't matter what time of the season Swansea are playing at. They always play the same way. And I actually think 8-1, I'm almost having a go at them because Arsenal are way too sure. But what I will do instead is do the cautious Colin route and back Swansea plus 2 goals here. It's just under even money, 17-20. It would have paid out in each of the last 3 seasons, this fixture. There was a 1-0 win for Arsenal, then a 2-0 win for Swansea and a 2-2 draw last week. And I don't think Arsenal are playing that great. I mean, they were awful in that Reading game in the Cup. Then at Chelsea, that was a poor performance. And OK, they beat Hull in the week. I quite fancied Hull to do that. I was disappointed in Hull's performance, but I don't think I think Arsenal have gone over the hill. I really do. And I think they're there to be beaten, you know, but I'll play it safe.
On to the non-televised fixtures this weekend then. 3 p.m. kickoffs on Saturday, and we start off with Newcastle versus West Brom. Newcastle 13-8, the draw 21-10. West Brom 9-5. Derek, Newcastle only 9-2 now to be relegated after an eighth straight league defeat. Please tell me you backed them at 150s, Derek.
No, I didn't back them. I mean, it was a bet of all time, because like, exactly what we predicted would happen has happened. They wouldn't get another point from then. And we were wondering whether 35 points would be enough for them to stay up. I don't think it will. If they don't get another point, I think they will go down. Some might suggest a point will be mutually beneficial here, both sides, because it will take it'll take West Brom to 41, and that should end any lingering doubts about them going down. They probably won't anyway, but you know, a point wouldn't do them any harm. But the thing is, are Newcastle capable of getting a point? How can you back them? The favourites to win this match, I don't understand how. I really don't. Some are saying that they'll stay up because they've got two home games left to come against non-triers, but it's Newcastle who've turned non-trying into an art form without trying. I mean, they're just absolutely awful, and you've got to back against them. Every time they play, you've got to back against them, because you can imagine what the fans are going to be like at the weekend, despite Colaccini's open letter. He says that they've got three cup finals to come. Well, that's disastrous news, given the way they've played in their last three cup finals, Newcastle. I've got to back West Brom here. I've backed against Newcastle every week, and I'm quids in, and I expect to be again this weekend.
Only the second time in their history they've lost eight or more matches consecutively in the league. 1977, they lost 10 in a row, Newcastle. And John Carver, Lee, has taken to criticising his own players now. While the rest of the country is more focused on his managerial capabilities, he came out and publicly accused Mike Williamson, really, of getting sent off deliberately. It was strange.
Yeah, it was strange. I want to see Mike Williamson turn up in like a smoking jacket and with a cigar on at the ground. You know, just I didn't fancy the last two games. Yeah, weird. I mean, it's just a mess. You know, I incorrectly, we were talking about this on Monday when we did the midweek one, and we were talking about the relegation picture, and I incorrectly said that, you know, having Cisse back would be a major plus for them. Alex Dunn, our colleague, a big Newcastle fan, he put me right. I mean, I didn't know that when he got his 7-match ban, they sent him off for a knee operation, thinking the season was over. I mean, just every decision that club makes is a calamitous one, isn't it?
Yeah.
So now they've got a striker who's had his operation, but obviously isn't match fit, may only be fit for the bench, and he's the only one who scores goals for them. I mean, it's unbelievable how they've managed to cock this season up. I think I'm with Derek here. You couldn't back Newcastle at any price, really, especially against a West Brom team who, all right, on the day they can have a shocker. But the last two away performances were a 2-0 win at Crystal Palace, who were playing really well at the time, and a 1-0 win against Man United. Admittedly, they were a little bit fortunate, but I think West Brom score, and I think they outscore Newcastle. I think West Brom are a good bet at 9-5. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a West Brom winning over 2.5 goals, but I think you need Newcastle to score for you in that bet, so I won't go for that. Because you know, I'm not quite sure where the Newcastle goals come from. I mean, they did score two against Swansea at home, Perez and De Jong, who's now injured. They scored against Tottenham. They scored at home against Arsenal. So they do score goals at home. It's just that they tend to not score as many as the opposition. So I'll go for West Brom at 9-5.
Stoke versus Tottenham is next. Stoke 9-5. The draw 21-10. Tottenham 13-8. Pretty tough match to predict this one, Lee.
You're not getting in.
Stoke won the reverse fixture 2-1 back in November, but Bojan got the first goal in that game, and they haven't looked nearly as potent without him in the team. Home form is okay, but not as strong as we'd usually expect from a Stoke side.
No, this is a tricky one, isn't it? Tottenham, yeah, I'm 58 points. Just a point ahead of Southampton and three back from Liverpool. Stoke, you know, I guess they're playing for that ninth spot. It's a tricky one. I mean, look at the form, and it's very similar. There's a lot of inconsistency between these two teams. You know, if you go back to the last time that Tottenham won back-to-back games in the Premier League was back in March when they beat Swansea and QPR. Since then, the run has been loss, win, draw, loss, win, draw, loss.
And Stoke, so they should win this one then.
Yeah, if you like betting on patterns. And Stoke are kind of similar, really. They haven't been stringing too many results together since the same sort of time when they won three in a row against Villa, Hull and Everton. It sounds like I'm sitting on the fence, and I am. Draw.
Yeah.
I mean, why are you 21? Why not? Yeah. You know, I don't see Tottenham just is. Tottenham, I can never really trust them, to be honest with you. They're just a bit weak. for me. I was disappointed with them against City. I thought they'd get a goal at least in that game. So yeah, I'll just go for it. It could be a draw on over 2.5. Wouldn't be surprised if it's got some goals in it.
Here's one for you in the cards market, if you like your stats. This one comes from Opta. There have been 6 red cards in the last 6 Premier League games between Stoke City and Tottenham at the Britannia. And there was also a red in the reverse fixture earlier this season. Red card in the match, 4-1.
Oh,
yes.
That sounds big, doesn't it?
That's normally around the 2-1 mark.
Yeah,
5-2 mark,
isn't it?
Yeah, so I don't mind that.
I hate that market when it's 5-2.
Yeah,
because it seems, you know, that's weird. That, yeah.
So that's one for the stats backers. Anyway,
that's one.
Stats
that's
players.
One to write in the annals of the pun that you've come up with a decent price.
Yeah. Well, incredibly, I'd be interested to know the identity of the red card victims.
I can tell you, Cal Norton. Ryan Shawcross got 2 yellows. Charlie Adam got 2 yellows in May 2013. So similarly, it was at Stoke that as well. Similar type of game, I'm imagining.
Yeah.
Kabul got a red in at Stoke for Tottenham. So it's kind of one of it. You wouldn't think of this being a dirty fixture.
Well, Charlie Adam is hated by Tottenham fans, isn't he? I mean, there's a lot of bad blood between him and because he went in on bail a couple of times, over the last 2 seasons. But interestingly, the reason I asked who was sent off is that Tottenham's record at Stoke is unbelievable in the last 2 seasons. I think they've won 5 of the last 6 visits. Who'd have thought that? Tottenham at the Britannia. Quite incredible.
Yeah. 1 goal wins as well, weren't they? 1-0, 2-1.
Yeah. I share your thoughts on this, Lee. I really can't pick a winner, and the draw is the biggest price. And I wouldn't, you know, if this was say 0-0, 1-1 in the 70th minute, I wouldn't see either side going for broke. Draw for me.
The draw in the market at 21-10 in that game. So do have a look at that.
If people don't want that 4-1 on the actual red card, then you could always play the bookings points here. Over 45 bookings points is 7-4, DK. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's if you don't bet on bookings, it's 10 points for a yellow, 25 for a red. So the maximum any player can get is 35. So effectively, you need 5 yellows to land your 7-4 there. Over 55 is 16-5, and over 65, which is going some, is 11-2. But a red obviously will give you a big opportunity to land that 7-4.
Leicester versus Southampton is next. Leicester 13-8. The draw 21-10. Southampton 9-5. Headline offers Leonardo Ochoa to score and Leicester to win is 5-1. Graziano Pella to score and Southampton to win 5-1. Derek, Leicester have won 5 of their last 6 Premier League games. As many victories as they had in their previous 39 Premier League matches now. And Southampton have kept just 1 clean sheet in their last 5 since Fraser Forster got injured. And he had a joint league high 13 clean sheets in 2014-2015. So they've clearly missed him.
No, Ralph. I mean, if you were betting on purely on 6 match form, Leicester would be stone cold certainty. It'd be odds on. Do you trust Southampton to come back? I don't. I've been feeling against them most of the season, and it's really making me a few bob over the last few weeks. They've lost to Everton, they've lost to Stoke, they've lost to Sunderland. I don't see why they won't lose to Leicester. I honestly sniffed it a while ago that Southampton are giving it up. Leicester certainly haven't. And I just don't see how you can make a case here for Southampton. I think Leicester are good things.
13-8, Leicester Lee.
Yeah, all over that. Like that a lot. We've said time and time again how the stadium's bouncing. They're really going for it. You know, not only has Nigel Pearson pulled his head out of the sand, but he's put it right up there and won Manager of the Month.
He has, hasn't he?
Oh, I mean, I was so pleased for him to win Manager of the Month. Do you know, I was reading something on Twitter, Mourinho hasn't won it once this season.
Has he not?
Jesus.
That's
Nigel
incredible.
Pearson wins Manager of the Month and Mourinho hasn't won it once. I'm not sure he's going to be bothered, if I'm being honest, about, you know, having a bottle
that
of champagne.
That doesn't seem right, though, does it?
It doesn't seem right, really, does it? Pearson and his ostrich doing... Apparently they were serving ostrich burgers at the stadium before the last home game at Leicester against Newcastle, which is all good, isn't it? Derek's right about Southampton. There's not an awful lot I can add other than just to put a few kind of stats around their demise recently. Still got the best away defence in the Premier League, by the way. They've conceded 16 goals. Chelsea and West Brom are next best with 20. Again, to put that into context, they've conceded 7 in the last 5 games. So, you know, almost half of their goals conceded all season have been in those last 5, including 2 at Sunderland, 2 at Stoke, 1 at Everton, Chelsea and West Brom. So I expect Leicester to do what they've been doing, carry on the momentum, big crowd, lots of energy. I spoke to a few people who were at the Sunderland-Southampton game, and they said Southampton looked really poor. And you look at their injuries, it's not a big surprise that they're not scoring goals and they're starting to leak goals as well. Mane, Gallagher, Ward-Prowse is banned for this one after getting sent off in the last game. Jay Rodriguez, Fraser Forster, as you mentioned, DK. Mm. Morgan Schneiderlin, being arguably their best player of the season. Mayaka and Tadic, who's been one of their attacking most attacking players. So all those players out. 13-8 looks a great price for Leicester.
Leicester 13-8, the draw 21-10, Southampton 9-5. On to Aston Villa versus West Ham. Aston Villa are 19-20, the draw 12-5, West Ham 3-1. Not much league going wrong for Aston Villa at the moment, really. They probably need one or maybe two more points for safety following that win against Everton last Saturday. And at the moment, Tim Sherwood and Christian Benteke sharing the praise equally.
Yeah, Benteke picked up the player of the month, didn't he? Nigel Pearson got manager and Benteke found his form. No surprise that, you know, basically Tim Sherwood's given him more licence to attack and the team more licence to attack. It went out with a 4-3-3 against Everton, and Zogbio and Jack Grealish either side of Benteke. Agbonlahor's fit again for this one, recovered from a hamstring injury, so maybe, it wouldn't be a big surprise. Maybe if Agbonlahor came in, maybe for Ndogbia. If they keep that same system, I don't see how West Ham can cope with Villa at the moment. It's the claret and blue derby, isn't it, this one? I think, you know, Villa scoring goals for fun. 3 against QPR, 2 against Liverpool in the Cup, 3 against Everton and West Ham. I mean, they've been gone for a while, haven't they? Scored one goal in their last 4 away games. And if you go back further than that, they've scored 3 goals in their last 8 away games. Villa just outscore them here for me. Odds-on's a struggle, I must admit.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not massively keen on that. So I think I'd rather back Benteke at even money to score any time than Villa to win at 19-20. Although I think both will happen. So if you want to lump them both in, Benteke to score in a Villa win.
Headline offer 2-1.
17-10 normal, boosted to 2-1. Yeah. Fair, isn't it, that?
Yeah, looks okay. 19-20 Villa, the draw 12-5 West Ham, 3-1. West Ham, Derek, without an away win in the league since the 2nd of September, a run stretching back 11 matches. They beat Burnley at home last time out. James Tompkins is back in training, but I don't think he'll feature in this game. And they've really missed him. I mentioned him a few times on the podcast. I think he's a really underrated centre-half.
Yeah, but it's not so much defensively. They've been found wanting at the moment. It's scoring, isn't it? Yeah. They haven't scored more than one goal in their last 6 matches. It's hard. It's hard to know who to fancy here. I'm a bit like David Cameron in that respect. This is two favourite teams. I've got everything Lee said is spot on here. If you look at this fixture, you think, yeah, Villa are going to win this all day, but it's getting your head round back into our odds on at home. You know, any other time of the season, 3-1 West Ham, I'd be on that all day long, but not now. They've given up. I saw their manager, Big Sam, my old mate, at Chester Races on Thursday. He wished me all the best, old hippo head.
You're so brave.
I laid low for like Aston Villa had done for much of this season. I did it for the whole of the afternoon. I'm going to go for Villa here, odds on, even though it's odds on. I just can't. And Lee is right. No matter what if West Ham score, Villa will outscore them.
That's it's going against everything that's written in your Bible list, Eric.
Yeah, I know, but it is. Yeah, I know what you mean. West Ham are 3-1, but it's at this. There's a little proviso in that, not in the closing week. Not if the team are wearing flip-flops.
That writing is so small that you can barely even see it.
Terms and conditions.
Over 2.5 goals, by the way, is 19-20. Which, you know, you could see that landing, couldn't you? It's a bit skinny. It's not a bet that I really like, but if you didn't want to get involved in the outrights, then the over 2.5 might tempt you in.
Hull versus Burnley, we finish off with. Hull are 19-20, the draw 12-5, Burnley 3-1. The headline offers Sonny Aluko to score and Hull to win is 4-1. Danny Ings to score and Burnley to win is 8-1. Lot at stake here, Derek. Burnley are gone, but Hull desperately need those 3 points. They haven't scored in their last 6 matches in the league, Burnley.
It's incredible, isn't it? Just looking at the score, 0-1, 0-1, 0-1, 0-0, 0-2. And you know, okay, they played some decent teams there, Tottenham and Arsenal, but they've also met West Ham, they've also met Leicester, you know, and they haven't scored against them. The strikers have just gone missing. But it's 3-1 in a game they've got to win to have any hope of staying up. I mean, yeah, you know, their position looks hopeless, but they can mathematically still stay up. 9 points in the last 3 games.
I hope they're not looking at the odds, though, Derek. because that will seriously deflate them, won't it?
Well, yeah, I know. But they could still get 35 points with three wins, couldn't they? You never know. It might just be enough to keep them up. Unlikely, unlikely. But would they give up as soon as this? I don't know. Watching Hull was a bit of an eye-opener the other night against Arsenal, because that was a big game for them. They just had two wins on the spin against Palace and Liverpool. You know, they should have had their feathers up, and they were really poor. They were really poor against Arsenal, and I can't trust them. I can't trust them now after watching that. That was at home, everything in their favour. I know this is at home too, but I can't back them at odds on. I can't back them. I'm going to give Burnley one last chance. I honestly don't think there's that much to choose between these two sides. You know, Burnley to win 1-0.
Burnley to win 1-0 is 9-1. Burnley to win the match just in the 90 minutes market, 3-1. Identical prices, these, incidentally, at time of recording, lead to that Aston Villa West Ham match we've just previewed.
Yeah. And it's kind of similar in a sense, isn't it, that you cannot have Hull at the price. I mean, Hull's predicament, 1 point ahead of Sunderland, but that goal difference, it means it's two. You know, minus 15 for them, minus 22 for Sunderland, minus 24 for Newcastle. So I think Hull have got a little bit more of a cushion than maybe the points suggest. They've beaten Liverpool, they've beaten QPR, they've beaten Aston Villa, Everton and Crystal Palace this season at home in the Premier League. A couple of other wins in the Europa League early in the season, which seems a long time ago. I think they win. But I think Derek's... I'll go along with Derek on the goals. I think it'll be a low-scoring game. I think Hull will keep it tight. And one thing I thought about that Arsenal game is how easy it was for Arsenal to drag the defence about. Arsenal are an exceptional side, so you know maybe I'm being harsh on Hull there, but I don't see Burnley doing the same thing to this Hull defence. I think they'll be very, very tight, so I think it'll be a close-run thing. I'll go the other way, though, and think I'll go for Hull to win by a single goal. Hull to win. And under 2.5 goals. So you've got the 2-0 on your side there as well. Mm. It's 5-2. So I could see that. I think Burnley will give it everything they've got, but it's been proved that they're not good enough, I think, this season. 26 points. Just don't score enough goals on the road for me. I haven't scored in the last four. Although they have been hard games, you know, Liverpool, Southampton, Everton. And, well, West Ham's not that hard. But, yeah, Hull win and under 2.5.
Let's wrap it up then with the Nats, as we always do at this time on the podcast. And Derek, you lead us off this week.
Right. Well, it was going to be Liverpool at 11-4 to win at Chelsea, but I changed my mind mid-broadcast. I'm going to go for Sunderland 9-2 to win at Everton.
Okay, Sunderland 9-2 to win at Everton. Mr. Phelps?
Thank God he changed his mind, because I'm going for Chelsea to win in over 2.5 goals at 11-5.
Chelsea to win and over 2.5 goals at 11-5.
The standings, by the way, are exactly the same as last week, but minus 10 on all of us.
I'm going to go...
We might have to issue an apology.
We could do definitely an open letter at the end of the season. I'm going to have to go with Christian Benteke to score any time at even money. There wasn't that much I liked on the coupon this week, but
no, Benteke, you're right.
That's not a bad price, that.
Benteke is just... He's flying, isn't he? Three against QPR... Scored away against Spurs, home against Liverpool, and then got a couple last time out against Everton. I think he'll bully this West Ham side, so I'll go with him at even money to score any time. And that treble, by the way, folks, Christian Benteke, even money. I get the feeling there's some people out there that might be losing a little bit of faith now. Even money, Christian Benteke to score any time.
I feel like a Lib Dem MP. That's what I feel like. A Lib Dem MP just waiting for the numbers to roll in.
Chelsea to win in over 2.5 goals against Liverpool at 11-5, and Sunderland to win at Everton at 9-2, 34.2-1.
Very nice. Can I just add one little aside? I went at Chester yesterday. I also bummed into a fellow. I wonder whether you two guys have ever met a fellow called John Bayliss, who used to do the odds compiler. Remember the Super Soccer coupons years ago? Used to go into a Hills shop, you'd see a Hills, coupons, yeah. Ladbrokes, and then it was Super Soccer, which used to do deal with all the independents. And I remember I spoke to him when I was at the Racing Post, and Mark Bosnich was having a fantastic season for Aston Villa in goal. He was saving penalty after penalty. And I gave him a ring. I said, what do you think about Bosnich? If there was a penalty against him this weekend, what odds would you go for it to be scored and to be missed? Now, generally, you'd say 1-3 to be scored, 9-4 to be missed. But he was an odds compiler, and he said, I'd make it 5-6 each. That's the form Bosnich was in.
Wow.
Quite. And I reminded him of that in a drunken rant yesterday.
Did he tell you he was wrong?
Yeah, and he admitted he was wrong. He said, yeah, God knows what I was drinking in those days. He said, you know. But quite interesting. 5-6 each of two, Bosnich.
Wow. That's crazy, isn't it? Yeah. I'd love to see, like, just be a fly on the wall with Derek. Derek's drunken rants, yeah. Hammering everyone except Big Sam.
It's like a 10-foot radius around Derek.
And Big Sam.
At everyone.
Just doesn't dare go near him.
Yeah, so scary moment it was. I had to come up back. You'd have backed me against Big Sam.
Did
surely,
you back, did
you
back any winners, Derek?
Hans Holbein. That was my only one.
Okay.
And I had a horse called Carry On Derek one as well. And I didn't even back
it. What price was that?
It was 4-1, something like that. But it might have even been more. It might have even been 10-1. I can't remember now. I was too drunk.
Thank you for your company, Derek.
Cheers, lad.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Thank you.
And thank you to all the listeners out there as well. You can download this podcast via iTunes, of course, and you can get us at audioboom.com by typing in William Hill. And it's almost coming to an end. Yeah. And myself, Lee and Derek will be back again next week to preview all 10 Premier League matches. Hope you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.